Man, I've been trying to defend some of the gamers out there, but so with the last show, we broke out the clips and we put some of the clips together, some of the stuff that we thought would be extra funny from the show. And we go out and we put in the little thumbnails. And when we were talking about porn and how you can find like raunchy things on television, and how you were talking about how in other countries you could see like raunchy things at night. And so I was looking for a picture that you could put in a thumbnail, and I put in like raunchy commercials, because I know that in some countries they were, you know, raunchy commercials where it would show like a girl get in those shower commercials, and they'd show pretty much almost everything in the shower commercials. And I put that in the picture, and all of a sudden, like, that was like one of the top videos on the site that was being looked at, just
Yes.
because the girl was showing cleavage. I'm just looking at myself, and I'm like, guys, really? Like, you. I see people rant all the time, all the freaking time about how, oh man, I hate it when, you know, it makes girl gamers look bad when the girls are showing cleavage and they can't play games. But then all I do is I put an image, and the content is like, has nothing to do with that. But the image is just to give you an idea of what the subject matter is like, kind of covering. And everyone just flocks to the image. I mean, really, guys? Is that all it takes?
So you're saying we figured out how to get the hits on the show. So
Yes.
we'll talk whatever the fuck we want. We'll just put a picture of cleavage as the thumbnail and boom, we're gonna freaking, yeah, we'll hit the million view mark. That's how it is.
Yes.
So I'm gonna put in here boobs. Okay, there you got the spot where you can put the little like clip on the side of just like cleavage, and there you go. All right, now we can move on to the actual show.
Yes, that's exactly right. From now on, in anything we talk about for every segment, we're going to actually mention boobs, cleavage, something, so that we can justify putting a picture in the thumbnail with cleavage so that we could get lots of hits. And that's it. We're going to become PewDiePie.
You do realize, like, our shows will like turn into us, like almost looking like we have Tourette syndrome. We'll just be sitting like titties, and then just like just so you can put a thumbnail.
How did you guys become so famous and so rich? Well, it was really, it's just easy. We were just talking about things, you know. One day we were like, hey man, what do you think about the Constitution?
That'll be it. That's it. Someone
All the way to
sneezed.
the bank.
One of us sneezed. It sounded like someone said titty, and we put a thumbnail up, and that was the mark right there.
It wasn't Ching Ching, it was Chitin's.
Back with a new show deep in the basement. Professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement. Skit comedy trolling, plate full of dough. People get offended, you don't get the show.
All right, we're back with another show. I'm J.A., he's Randy. What's up?
What's up, bro?
Man, it's interesting because we're talking about suing lawsuits, and with we got the Don, man, you know, our president coming up. President Trump talked about suing people. You know, he wants to go after like Saturday Night Live for making fun of him. Talk about suing people. Talk about going after reporters if they say bad things about him, suing people. So, I mean, I guess that this kind of fits in correctly, because being able to sue people if they do things wrong. I mean, look, it didn't start with Trump, obviously. The suing nature, the suing culture has been a up there here in America, where someone does something to you, you don't even fight no more. It's kind of funny. I remember there was a skit, I think it was Kids in the Hall, actually, where you had these two big buff guys, and they were in a bar, and you think that they're gonna just get into this big brawl. You see like bottles and chairs, and it looks like they're about to get into a big fight. Next thing you know, they pull out papers and they're talking about lawsuits and shit. Because that's what you do nowadays, man. You know, you start to sue. And that's what happens when you get to an argument online too, man. If you get banned for doing something, you want to sue, even if it's completely your fault. And that's just strange, because that was one thing that happened in my short tenure in Nexon. There would be people that would get banned for doing things that was completely their fault, using hacks, using cheats, doing things that they knew was wrong. And the funny thing is that, look, if, for you guys that don't know, we can see what you're doing. We'd be there in the game, and we'd be invisible, because you'd have GMs in the game that players right there, invisible, and we'd be watching you, and we'd see you doing things like glitching, and you'd be popping all over the screen, like flying around doing all these things. And we're there like, wow, look at this guy. Just racking up points, spawning mobs, despawning mobs, doing all this stuff. And then next thing you know, we'd pop in, you'd stop, and we're like, hey, what's going on? Oh, nothing, just enjoying a nice day. Yeah, you're banned. Next thing you know, you'd jump on the forums or send a ticket in. Hey, why'd I get banned? I'm innocent. You'd write a post, a forum, and start crying. Oh, I'm a victim, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to sue. And then you're crying. So this is our first story. In Overwatch, there's players who want to sue Blizzard over bans because, man, Blizzard ain't playing. They've been laying out the ban hammer lately. Over the last couple of weeks, they've been banning like thousands of people for using like aim bots and all types of things in their game. And these players are getting pissed. But it's not like they're just saying, hey, I didn't do it. No, these guys are admitting they're doing it. But they're just saying things like, man, why were you watching me? They're saying they want to sue because you've been watching me. Or, hey, I thought that thing I downloaded from crackoverwatch.com, they promised me that I could cheat and not get caught. And, man, you know what? I got caught. That's some bullshit. I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, not only suing, but getting mad because that crack or that you downloaded wasn't 100% foolproof.
So, for me, with one of those things, like I played Overwatch, and there are, yes, some really good players out there. But first and foremost, if you're cheating, fuck you, you deserve every bit of it if you get caught. But the funny thing is like you look at these like these forum posts and they're like, oh, I downloaded this free crack or hack that they said that it was cool and it was clean and I got banned and I bought a whole new game and they banned that one too. And it's like, it's hilarious because like, I mean, I don't know exactly how like Blizzard's like doing this, like tracking this thing. Like people are saying like you literally have to like get an entirely new machine because they're figuring out how to like track something that you can't alter. And even ones that are saying like, oh, just run this program, it'll alter what sends out the Blizzard and you'll be fine. Like I've seen posts of that of people like, yeah, I ran this thing that was supposed to let me play Overwatch again and I got banned again. So whatever the hell they're doing to detect the same people, bravo Blizzard, like you figured out the formula. But it's funny as hell where like, you know, you have these people that they're willing to cheat at a game, whether they're paying for the hack or they're getting it for free. And then they have the balls to be like, oh, they banned me, so I'm suing them. If anything, you should be suing the people that sold you the hack because they said, hey, you won't be detected, you won't be hacked. Like, Blizzard's just doing their due diligence because, I mean, let's face facts. People, I'm pretty sure, have played games where I've been in games where, like, it's a clear night and day, obviously, this person's hacking. Like, there's no way they can know you are where you are without, you know, an aimbot or something. And it sucks. It ruins the fun for people playing the game. Like, I will honestly not play a game if I know that there's people that are, like, hacking. And it's crazy because there has been, like, one of the biggest games that I love to play. Like, I love to play Rainbow Six Siege as well. And that has had a huge amount of, like, people hacking that as well. But Ubisoft's gotten a lot better at it. But it's like, it's a night and day type of a thing. there are some things that their net code needs a little bit of work, because I've seen weird shit, and I've seen people that stream that they'll be like, see somebody, and they'll like, you know, you get that leaner's advantage where you lean and you'll start shooting because you know the guy's there because you've seen the guy there. And they'll start to shoot, and before the guy even comes around the corner, like, you're connecting with them, and people call hacks on that. And that's like a big difference of like, you saw the guy there, you know the guy's there, and the guy decides, like, I'm going to step out from around this corner, and you get caught. It's another thing to, like, literally never have been seen by this person and have your, like, thing just zip and boop, you're already pointing in that direction. I saw a video of and it was funny because he was a Twitch streamer that was using an aimbot, and in his match he was playing, I believe he was either Genji or I think he was McCree, and he was aiming at Tracer, and you could see that the moment Tracer came onto the screen, like, he just snapped to her, and he was like boop, and it was like literally just following her dead on. And what was crazy is she used her blink to dash forward, and this thing automatically, like, literally snapped to where she was at, and then she dashed a second time, and before she even appeared, it snapped to where she was going to be at. And this was done by, like, a YouTuber that he's, like, talking about how, like, there's obviously, like, you can watch replays and tell, like, this person's hacking, and he's like, you know, when you look into that effect, and, like, he slowed it down, he's like, you could literally see, like, if you're a good player and they go to dash, you know, when she dashes, the thing about Tracer is she moves in the direction that she's like, she'll dash in the direction that she's moving, not where she's facing. So you can actually be running forward, and the split second before you dash, you can take half a step backwards and hit the dash, and you'll dash backwards, you know? And that's the thing, is you won't know where she appears until she literally appears. But this guy was like, the moment she disappeared, it just went poof, and like was dead on to where she was at. You know, and it's like, you know, these are like things that are blatant. Like, there's some people that are really good out there that, like, you can see, I've seen in streams where they'll see a Tracer running along and they'll see her like disappear and they'll automatically like move to aim. But then you realize like they didn't dash forward, they dashed backwards, but you'll see them like move forward and then realize, oh crap, and then real quickly zip back because they'll realize, oh, they didn't dash forward, they drive backward. So it's this like crazy like thing that people, like, honestly, people should not use hacks into the game. Seriously, if you want to do like that, do not play games where you're going to be playing with people. It ruins the fun for everybody.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like, especially in a game like Overwatch, I mean, really in any game, I can understand, like, you're playing a single-player game and it's hard or something. Like, I've seen people play, like, Fallout or something, and they're like, hey, I want to play God mode, or I want more gold in Skyrim or something like that. All right, whatever. But you're playing a game and you have an aimbot in Overwatch, and you're getting kills or something. How much joy are you getting out of that? And right, obviously, from a Blizzard perspective, like, even in the article, it's talking about, you know, you're trying to ban because they're trying to get this in a competitive play. You know, it's like if you see in League of Legends, you see cheats in that game. I mean, League of Legends, they have millions of people, you know, watching this in tournament play. Now, obviously, when you get to the tournament level, they're making sure that you're not going to be able to run any cheats there. But even when you're playing just for fun, you don't want to have someone there getting, you know, their diamond level by getting these cheats. Mm-hmm. And you don't, I mean, if you're sitting there and you're running an aimbot, even if you win that level or your team wins, like, how much joy you're getting out of that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could troll and you're sitting there just for the lols. And you're like, ah, look at this, I'm killing this person. But how many games is that fun? And I guess, you know, you're going to have that group or that person or people out there that maybe for hours, days, weeks, I guess their mentality is like, I don't care. I can just log in and use this aimbot forever and ever. But man, I just, as a player, I went through so long getting my ass handed to me. And still today, you're going to always run into someone that's going to be better than you. But mm-hmm. I just never thought, especially when you're playing against other people, man, let me just go out and get me that crack so I can have some computer, you know. And actually, the funniest thing is you hear about people that get an aimbot and still lose because that isn't the end-all be-all. Because that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win just because you have an aimbot. You know, that's not a guaranteed win either. That's the funniest part. You could get that shit and still lose. So, I mean, man, how bad must you feel if you get an aimbot or something like that and you still lose? I mean, at that point, you really need to just alt F4 and uninstall that motherfucker.
And that's the thing. In Overwatch, that can happen because, let's face facts, Overwatch is not about how many kills you get. It's pushing the objective, you know? And like you said, there's been streams out there where people have admitted to cheating and they're like, I can't believe we lost. And it's like, because your dumbass was just sitting in the background, shooting and killing as many people as you wanted to. You never went for the objective, you know? And to me, like, people using, like, aimbots or hacks and anything like that, it's almost the exact same thing to me as playing on a WoW PvP server or even a PvE server. And on a PvP, being a high-level person and going into, like, a newbie zone and just massacring people for no reason. You get no honor for it. You don't do anything like that. Or even in a PvE server, I saw this when I was leveling up one of my characters, that there was three level 110 horde characters that probably had super high gear, and they were literally in the Hellfire Ramparts in the Alliance city that's there. And they were literally going around and killing every single one of the NPCs in the Hellfire Ramparts. And all they were doing this for was to basically prevent the people that were trying to level up from being able to grab the quest and turn the quest in. And they were just sitting in this one little spot. And it's like I'm sitting there watching them do this over and over and over again. And I'm sitting there like just waiting for the person to spawn to see if I can click on them and then trigger the next part of the quest so I could just leave that area. And I was like, really, how much fun is that? Like, to me, I would be bored after killing them the second time around. Because it's like, oh, I got my rocks off, these people can't level. But it's like, okay, I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm literally wasting time doing this. And that's kind of like the same way I feel like people that use these like hacks and aimbots, it's like, how long can it be fun for? You know?
I mean, the only way I could imagine is if you have a group of people over and it's just – that's like – it's not even just being kids. It's like beyond. It's like that stupid mentality where you just have like a bunch of people. It's like, hey, let's just be stupid, and you have a bunch of people together and you're just like, oh, look, oh, low, low, lows, because that can't be fun. Like even back in the Red Eye days, if all of us were doing something stupid, like even that – what, maybe a half an hour or something? And then you're like, okay, come on, let's do something else. Like, let's play something fun. Like, that gets old. But you got to think that something like that you're doing, and some of these people do it for hours, there's no fun in that. Especially, like, I've seen that too, where someone's just killing a quest mob, and then, like, I'll pop into a PvP game or something like that, into a battleground, come back, and the person's still there. And yes, that person may be sitting there and have TV on or something on in the background, but they're still there. So even if they do have something on the side or whatever they're doing, you're still there. So you're like, really? What's going on? But it's funny because, you know, you were talking about how come they don't sue the person that did the crack, because it's true, going after the large target. And in the article, they said that the chances of you going up against Blizzard is going to be slim, because the Blizzard themselves have actually filed a lawsuit against these makers, saying that, you know, it's infringing on the company's copyright of the game, because they have their own terms of service. So you're messing with the game, you're messing with other players' ability to play the game too by making these changes, by infringing on other players' gameplay.
And if you look at it like, and it's funny, like the whole thing that you mentioned, it's like the, you'll go nowhere suing Blizzard because, yeah, number one, you know, they're just sitting there with all their corporate lawyers like, yeah, go ahead. because the first thing that they're going to pull up is that end user license agreement, which says like, hey, you're agreeing to use this software the way it was developed and not alter it in any way. Boom, case closed. They will gladly go to fucking court all day long to just bust out the EULA and remember and tell them, remember when you clicked that little button that said accept? Yeah, this is what you accepted, you know? And it's ridiculous because it's like people really think like, oh, I'm going to sue them because I'm going to get my money back. And they're like, no, they got your money. You clicked on that EULA. You agreed that you were not going to do this, and you did it anyways, and you got caught. Guess what? Case closed. You're done. You know? Like, I think the biggest thing that they're really pissed about, and it's why they're like, oh, I'm going to sue, is when it happened in the past through different games, oh, my account got banned. I'll just create a whole new account, buy the game again. Boom, I'm done. You know? Now they're like, yeah, go ahead and buy the game again. Give us your $60. Click that EULA, which states, like, not only will you be banned if you do this, but any other accounts after this, you'll be banned. So they're still clicking on the same agreement. So they can spend $60 twice. They can spend $60 100 times. They're still not going to get their money back. It's all how it is. Like, you can cry all you want, but it's like, hey, sorry, buddy. You know?
Now, as for the companies that have been taking advantage of the players, because, look, yes, you are dumb for going to these websites because not only are you trying to hack a game that you really shouldn't be hacking just to get aimbots or whatever, but a lot of these sites often will have, like, malware and stuff because you don't even know what you're doing. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these sites actually will be kind of legit because, you know, I remember back in the day when you would go and buy WoW Gold. Look, I admit it. I bought WoW Gold back in the day, and you'd find out that you're like, oh, this is a good site to go get WoW Gold. And you went there, and it was a legit site, and it wasn't malware or something. But some of these hack sites you go, and it's like, oh, my God, this site's full of malware. Next thing you know, your computer's infected. But as far as those countersuits, I mean, it's not just countersuits. In South Korea, they're going after those hacker creators themselves. Mm-hmm. In South Korea, it ain't no joke. Man, when I first read this, I thought it was North Korea, man. Because that sounds like some shit. So if you're creating hacks for online games in South Korea, not only can you face heavy fines, but you could also face jail time. Basically, the deal is if you create these hacks like aimbots and things like that, they're saying that you could face, was it, up to 5 years in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that ain't no joke. This isn't like, oh, 30 days. 5 years in prison or $43,000 in fines.
That's
so, crazy. I mean, this isn't for using it. Because, I mean, at first, like, when I first heard it and I heard people talking about it, like, it was kind of like a confusion. People were saying, like, if you use it. And it was like, wow. Because that's why I thought North Korea. I was like, damn, could you imagine if you use it? You're, like, playing a game. You're like, yeah, eat this shit. I'm using an aimbot. And next thing you know,
hit that knock on the door.
It's like, FBI, you're going to jail, motherfucker. Oh, I just want to kill some noobs. Yeah, you're going to be a noob.
Come with us, you go to jail.
Yeah, you're going to be a noob up in prison when they bend you over. They're going to use an aimbot for that shit. But nah, what's happening is that, I mean, this is hardcore because the problem is they're not sure how this would work as far as, like, you know, those terms of service that Randy was talking about, because now you look, this could be a good thing because it could crack down on this kind of stuff. But on the other hand, now companies, could they start saying, hey, look, this could be a precedent. Could we push for this to be done in the US? And if so, could we make changes to our terms of service to lock down other things? I mean, what do you think? Do you think overall, is this too heavy handed? I mean, because look, South Korea is looking at this is dollars. Let's make this clear. This is not about the players. This is about dollars. They're looking at things like League of Legends tournaments, Overwatch tournaments, dollars. I mean, South Korea makes a lot of money off of the gaming industry, competitive gaming industry, and they know that's the future. Out there, that's their sports. That's their ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing they want is to have aimbots and things like that messing up that next generation, that upcoming revenue stream. So they're like, hey, you guys in the underground crack industry are not going to mess this up. So that's what this is about. So, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, if you sit there and you look at it, like you say, this is their big sports thing. Like, if you look at, like, when League of Legends does their World Invitational, like, almost, like, I honestly, I think every single year, the last four teams, it will literally come down to, like, South Korea. Like, it's literally, like, all European teams. Because, like, these people, like, eat, sleep, and breathe these games. And it's funny because I remember, like, seeing online and they were talking about how, like, there was a crazy ass, like, amount of like bad, you know, bad juju that was going around in these, like, Korean and all these Asian esports things, because, like, literally out there it's so popular and it's so rampant that you had teams that were literally taking bribes to throw matches because, of course, this is Asia. They'll fucking bet on anything. Yeah. Like, they'll fucking put a chicken inside of a fucking cage with numbers on the floor, and they'll fucking bet to see where the chicken takes a shit. Like, you're talking, they will bet on fucking anything. If there's any type of probability, they're like, fuck it, I'll put $100 on this, you know? And when that story came out, like, that was when they started investigating that shit, and they were like, holy fuck, this happens way more than we think it does, you know? And now to see this going forward, like, they're creating this stuff, like, I think, like what you say, they're starting to, like, put the building blocks in to kind of preserve that, because they see at how lucrative of a revenue stream this could be for them. Because let's face facts, like, you sit there and you look at, like, League of Legends and, like, the Dota tournaments, like, they're freaking raking in millions of dollars to give out as prize money for these people, you know? And it's insane, like, how, like, it's blown the hell up, you know? And it's interesting to see that, and, like in the article, this sits there and says, like, you're probably going to see, like, companies like Valve and Blizzard and all these things, like, they'll welcome the law in, like, yeah, sure, let's do this, you know, because they won't want, like, they'll try and keep it as pure as possible for it to keep going. And, I mean, it's funny as hell when you sit there and you look at, like, what we talked about, like, a couple of weeks ago, where we talked about, like, they started drug testing fucking people playing these esports because they were freaking hopped up on Adderall.
Yeah.
You know? It's fucking insane. Like, it's like, Jesus Christ, like, you can't even have a damn tournament, a freaking League of Legends tournament, without freaking, like, these motherfuckers are high as hell on Adderall.
Well, they're talking about sports drinks. I mean, I just saw they have mints now that's supposed to replace the sports drinks. I mean, this stuff is being catered to gamers. I mean, the more and more you're hearing about it, it's getting up there. You still have people trying to fight it on sports talk radio. You have a war going on where people are starting to talk more about gaming, and then you have the old guard still trying to make fun of it, saying that, oh, it's irrelevant, what's this, stop talking about it, this is for kids, and laughing about it. And then more and more people are like, shut up, old man.
Yeah.
You know, my audience wants to talk about it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, look, you had just a couple of, you know, month ago, half a year ago, Colin Cowherd was making fun of it, and now they have podcasts sponsored by ESPN talking about League of Legends. So, I mean,
I was gonna say, what was the name of that freaking ESPN dude that he was fucking talking shit, and he was like, the day that this thing becomes a sport on this channel, y'all can fire me. And ESPN was like, see ya.
Yeah, now he's on FS1, where they're talking about, oh, we have the fastest growing sports talk. Yeah, they only have, like, I think it was 98,000 people watching it, which ain't shit. I mean, that's nothing for a major sports television show. Dude.
And that's what's funny, is, like, he talked all that smack and all that, and ESPN, like, let's face facts. Any big corporation, corporate TV thing or whatever, they're going to be like, where the hell's the money coming from? Are we going to make more money off of this guy saying nope, or are we going to make more money of getting people to come in and do that? The decision was made very easily in money for advertising and everything. ESPN was like, oh, you don't want to be a part of this? Yeah, don't let the door slap you in the ass on the way out, because it's coming.
Look, people are going to watch what they want to watch.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Like, everybody knows, and it's funny that you kind of, like, mentioned this. It's like what they're talking about, like, with this whole thing that's going on with the YouTube, where, you know, you have these, like, huge YouTube channels that they're saying, like, oh, we're losing subscribers, we're losing, you know, revenue dollars and all that, and it's because, like, you know, they've converted the algorithm to be more like television. Like, it's not how many views you get, it's how long people are watching it for. And they're saying that's why, if you look at now, the channels that are blowing up as far as ad revenue and all that are all the, like, major, like, NBC, ESPN, fucking Sony Entertainment and all that stuff. Like, they're like, why? Because they have these, like, hundreds of people just churning out content that they're making it like TV. And then you have the YouTube content creators that it's like a one-man team putting out the stuff, and they're freaking starving to death, you know? And that's, like, the thing that they talk about, that it's like, man, they're trying to, like, crank this stuff over and blah, 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 and then, like, it's just dying out, you know? And it's like, it sucks, because you see, like, a bunch of these, like, great content creators, like, what's his name, that sold out to CNN, and it's like, they interviewed him, and he's like, I just got sick and tired of, like, doing stuff just to put stuff out there because I needed to keep my view minutes up. You know, like, you've had, like, I've seen videos of PewDiePie talking about, like, this is getting ridiculous, and, like, all these, like, big YouTubers, man. Like, you look at PewDiePie for what it is, it's hilarious. Like, it's not anything out of this world, but the man was smart. He did it first, you know, and everybody started copying him. And it's like, the guy got smart. He's made all his money not from YouTube. He made all his money, like, he started to make money from YouTube, turned it into a freaking company, like a production company or a sponsor company, and then he sold himself. Like, I honestly think PewDiePie can probably shut his YouTube channel down. He will still make plenty of money from everything else that he has coming in, you know? But it's like, it's insane to, like, see that happening to people. Even though this is, like, off topic completely, I just realized, like, this train derailed, hey, fucking drove through a valley and then got on a different set of rails.
Hey, this is You Don't Get the Show. We make our own topics.
But it's insane, and, like, as us being content creators as well, like, it fucking sucks when you realize, like, oh, the YouTube now is not the YouTube that it was, like, 2-3 years ago.
Well, I mean, look, that's going to always be the case, and this is for anyone that's ever going to try to make anything. Like, the Obsolete Gamer Show channel, everything that we've done, we've been around here since 2000, well, really 8, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. So 8 years, and in that time, we've seen so many people come and go as far as trying to get various endeavors off the ground. And the most important thing, it's cliche as fuck, but it's true. You have to love what you're doing, mm-hmm. because if you go in there just business alone,
yeah,
then you're going to go crazy. But you still have to think business-like too, because if you think 100% artists, then you're not going to make money either.
Right.
So you can't have just one side. If you're the pure artist guy, then you're probably not going to make money, and then you're going to be sad. If yeah. you're 100% business, then you're going to pull your hair out, because when you have those slow times or something, then you're like, what am I doing this for? You got to have mm-hmm. both, but you got to like it too. And you have to understand that you're going to be doing a lot of things just because you like doing it. And if you get to the point where you're like, oh, I got to crank something out, because then you failed already. Because if you're just mm-hmm. cranking out for cranking out sake, then not only your audience is going to see it, but you're going to feel it, you're going to see it, and then you're already on your way down. Because as time yeah. goes on, then you're going to – look, everything changes. You get older, you start to lose focus, you start to not care as much. So you have to do it because you like it, because as time mm-hmm. goes on and things get harder – and it just as like you were saying as far as changes, look at things like back in the day, like the WB before was like CW and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at how a lot of those television stations start, and think of how it, even like Netflix. And that's how everything starts. They'll bring in those smaller names. They'll bring in smaller stars. And they'll say, hey, look at these shows. We're so independent. We're so close to you. We're so this and that. And then when it starts to blow up,
Right. The
kick your ass out.
And it's like, fuck it, bitch, we're getting paid.
Yeah, they kick you out. All of a sudden, what happened to this guy? What happened? Look at Fox. For people, yeah. I mean, like, I read about a lot of those shows that used to be on Fox back in the day. And, you know, a lot of those stars were unknown. And now, you're not going to see too many unknowns on Fox. You know, you might get a few, maybe in comedy more than anything else, but everything now is from the producer of. Even like now with Amazon and all that, Netflix, look at who's launching Netflix shows. It's from the producer of, written by, from the director of. Yeah, you may get a couple of the Netflix originals who might be kind of like a few B-list or something, but even those are people who made things before. No one's going to try from someone that's just brand new because, let's face it, people don't want indie. Now, maybe something brand new may come out, and then you'll see indie people or brand new people, but then eventually they'll become famous too, and then they only want stars as well. YouTube has been at that point for a while now where at first it started with very, very, you know, from the people. Right. And now since it's very famous, now to really be big, you see a production company say, hey, I'm launching a YouTube channel and we're throwing millions of dollars into it. Who the hell used to throw $1 million into a YouTube channel? Now that's what you see. People actually put hundreds of thousands of dollars into a YouTube channel. That's insane. Are we going to keep up with that? We throw $10 into our YouTube channel.
And that's the big thing is like you look at like some of the even bigger channels. Like look at like Philip DeFranco's channel. Like it's not just him doing it. Like, he's got an entire staff that helps him do everything. You know, like he sits down and he films a thing and then like he'll partially edit stuff, but he'll have like a sound guy and a camera guy and all these different things, like a director assistant that like organizes everything together and all that. And it's like interesting where like when we were discussing like our idea for the new show, like I think the big thing that you told me when I pitched the idea to you was don't think of show number 1 through 4. Think of show number 101 through 104. And I think like what you say is like it's you have to think like am I going to have enough content to do it that long? B, am I still going to enjoy doing it after that? Because like you say, once you start just cranking out stuff just to crank out stuff, people notice that like lack of passion. That like, all right, we're going through the motions again. And that, I think, is now what is really burning out these content creators because they realize if I want to stay relevant, at least on the pages and get, you know, show up on the main page, I have to just churn stuff out. And it's easy when you got hundreds of people doing it with you, but when it's just one person, it's very, very difficult. Like it takes time to edit down videos and da da da, you know. It takes you a few days of just playing around with stuff to add in this and to take this out and cut this and that, you know. And it sucks, you know. But it's like it's one of those things where it's like, man, if you can get it going and you can keep the passion before you know with it going, you could do it. The big thing that I see that's going to end up happening is if it keeps going the way that it's going. And YouTube keeps going, doing what they're doing, you will probably eventually see some other similar site to YouTube, whether it be Twitch decides to do it or somebody else, and they're going to sit there and they're going to create it and make it look like YouTube, and they're going to pitch it like how the old YouTube was, and you will see a bunch of these like one-man content creator places, they're going to go because they're like, you know what? If I'm making X amount over here and I'm struggling to do it, but I can go to this company over here and I can make the same that I was doing as I was in YouTube way before, screw that, I'm going.
Oh, yeah. And look, here's one of the things that a lot of people know but they don't want to talk about when it comes to, like, gaming in particular. You have to remember, when it comes to gaming, as much as people, especially who do something like this, feel proud and happy to do it, there's still that little bit of shame especially as you get older. You know, you're still on camera and you're talking about gaming and you're getting passionate and excited, and people will come and say, oh, why is this guy getting excited? It's gaming. Go get a job. Go get a girlfriend, blah, 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 and things like that, right? So as you get older, as you go do things, things come into your life. And then you say to yourself, man, I'm still doing this after X number of years. Mm-hmm. So you have that. And then whoever's with you, if you're lucky enough to have a team, you still have to deal with those people as well. So mm-hmm. if you're in front of the camera, at least you have you. You're there. But then you have everyone else helping you. If you don't have that revenue stream, if you don't have the quote-unquote fame, I don't mean fame like famous, but you have something to be proud of. You have your product. You have your show. The rest of the people still have to feed off of that too. So you have all of that together to say, man, do I still want to do this? I'm X years old. I have this. I have that. And do I really feel like doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, year after year, what do I have to show for it in gaming? You know, like if you're talking politics or something like that, it's different. Mm-hmm. Because you can be 45 years old doing a podcast about politics and people be like, wow, that's great that you're doing that. That's awesome. You're 45 years old talking about gaming. It's different maybe if you're the top YouTuber and you're talking about that. People probably let that slide. But if you're 45, your show's not making a lot of money, and you're talking about gaming, that's not going to sound so good, is it? Even in today's culture where gaming is doing well. So you have to take that into account. I mean, even if you're 35, people are going to be like, man, you're 35 years old and you're talking gaming? How big is your channel? What you have? So I can understand why if someone's like – even in their 20s, if they're like turning 30, people are thinking to themselves, maybe you have a girlfriend. She has nothing to do with the show. She's like, you're turning 30 next month and you're still doing that show? How many subscribers you got? 300? Why the hell are you wasting your time doing that show? And all your friends that used to help you with that show, they're not helping you anymore. They're like, why are you still doing that stupid show? You don't get no viewers. Why? Now do you guys? That's why all those shows start disappearing off of YouTube, because they went in there all hyped up when they were in college. They were all hyped up when they were 25, 26, 27. Now they're turning 30. They ain't hyped for that shit no more.
That's the thing. Like what you say is like, you know, I'm pretty sure like people look. There's some people out there that will look at PewDiePie and be like, "What you make content on YouTube and all that?" And PewDiePie just turn around and is like, "Yeah, so last year I made like $2 million. How much did you make?"
Yeah,
and then shuts him up real quick.
Right, you can laugh at PewDiePie. You see how the way he dresses, pictures and shit, and you'd be like, "Yeah, look at that motherfucker. He's funny." And then he goes and gets in his Mercedes or his Ferrari, and then you shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But you do that, and then you get into your fucking Honda Civic that got rust on it. They still laughing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way of the world.
That's at least, I think, well, with the tease of it, which we're still ironing out the like how we're gonna do the new show, as it were. Which I still think it's a good idea. But yeah, like I honestly think like it's one of those things where, you know, you just have to go with it and create the content and blah blah blah. And what topic were we originally? Well, yes, that's right, the hacking of the. but like it's one of those. It's crazy to kind of like bring the train back onto the correct track. It's interesting to see them do a law like this. If it passes, you get jail time for creating this. Honestly, from a gamer side of perspective, it is something that. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be done because if not, like you say, it's going to get rampant. It can get rampant. It has gotten rampant. And it's interesting to see, like you say, oh, there's legitimate sites out there that will do it. I mean, granted, it's not like you shouldn't do it. But at the same time, you can go to some pretty dark corners of the internet in trying to find some of these, like, hacks and blah blah blah. Now at the same time, if you're literally one of those type of people that are like, I'm gonna hack because I want to do this, and honestly you go somewhere and your computer gets infected or gets wiped or gets locked out, you know what, no sympathy for those people. None. Because you know what? You shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. Like, you and I have been, like you said, from Red Eye a long, long time ago, years and years and years of that shit. You know, oh, I can go here, or you know what? I shouldn't be doing this shit. You know, it's simple common sense. People will fucking do what they want to do. Like, it could be little Timmy that got pissed off that he got beat every single time and he wants to get a hack and go after Johnny and blah, 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 and make him look like a big, tough, you know, internet, and I'm better than you and blah, blah, blah. But like we said, like, I do not understand what makes it fun to do this. And this will definitely, like, if this passes and all these companies, like, take it on, it will definitely be something that you will see will cut out a lot of these hacks and all this being available. And I honestly think it will bring, like, the joy back into the actual gaming thing. Like, it'll be great. Oh, I can play Titanfall, or I can play Battlefield and not have to worry about somebody cheating and this and that. And it's funny too, like, if you've ever gone to, like, one of the actual, like, websites that sells, like, the aimbots for Battlefield, if you look at some of the flame wars that get started in those forums, it is the funniest fucking thing to see. Because you'll have all those people like, oh, this shit works, and da, 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 and then you'll have that, like, one Joe Schmo that'll be like, oh, you motherfuckers need to die for using these hacks. You guys suck at it. And that just, like, it's like fucking walking with two goddamn drums of fucking gasoline, you know, and, like, sitting the bitch down and be like, I'm going to light a cigarette and smoke here and just watch the fireworks happen.
It's the same thing, like, if you ever go on, like, a tube site for television shows, and you're like, hey, oh, man, this is cool. I can watch my TV shows here. And there'll be that guy that posts, it's like, hey, you know, you really shouldn't watch TV shows here. You should watch them on live TV. This is piracy. And, oh, my God, the flame war starts.
Yeah, that shit starts up that whole, get the fuck out of here. I mean, I still look to as a go back to an old episode, look at the fucking way people reacted with No Man's Sky. It's still like one of those things where it's like you had people say one thing, you had fucking death threats going out to developers.
You know, it's funny. Speaking of just different ways to watch and people going and not only hacking, because this was one of the concerns. One of the cool things that Apple announced was trying to bring first-run movies to their Apple TV platform. And I just wanted to get your take on that idea because, I mean, man, now...
Wait. Before we even go down this route, this is, of course, from Mac Rumors, which you got to take everything that's on that site with a big grain of salt, although...
It wasn't just them, though, because here's the thing. That's where I sent you that link, but since then, I found it on a bunch of other sites, so it wasn't just them alone.
Well, so here's the thing. So with Mac Rumors, I tell people, take whatever you find on there with a big grain of salt, although I will point out that they have been pretty on some things that, like, I would say probably a good, like, 60-70% of what they'll post on there. Like, they'll hit stuff right the nail on the head, like, when they post stuff there, which is interesting because, like, you know, when you look at it and they look at the rumors of, like, let's say the new phones and blah, 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 like, what most of their research is, like, they look at patent filings and all that. Like, you can't hide the patent file. Like, if they say, oh, it's going to be this inch by this inch and blah, 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 it's going to, like, you have to denounce everything in the patents, which is why they're pretty, like, spot on with this. This was interesting when, like, you sent me this and I read this because it's a really good idea. Why? Because, hey, instead of the mass hysteria of, like, let's look at the closest example of, hey, I want to go see Star Wars Rogue One day one. My chances of finding tickets at my theater right now to see that are slim to none, and slim walked out the door, you know? So it's one of those things that, like, having an option like this is great. Granted, when you look at the pricing that they at least put up on this thing, that they're rumored, blah, 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 between $25 and $50, it's a bit steep. But if you sit there and you think about it, think about how much it costs you for you and your significant other to go to the movies the last time.
Well, in a nutshell, what we're talking about is it's still in the rumor mill, but Apple TV is in talks with different movie studios, and their idea is to have first run movies come to their platform 2 weeks after it's in movie theaters. So let's say, like Randy was saying, Rogue One comes out 2 weeks later, you could watch it on Apple TV, and the price point would be anywhere from $25 to $50. And that is supposed to be, you know, to cover the idea of, you know, of like hacking and things like that. And it's supposed to be hack proof, but that's supposed to cover the idea of going to the movies, revenue loss and things like that. But another thing, cause I was looking at on other sites too, cause I didn't want just one. I got this cause it was kind of condensed. Some of the other ones had like opinion and other things in it. And this one was condensed. But some of the other sites were saying the reason why that price point was so high was you could have multiple people in there. So the idea was, you know, you would probably have friends there or family. So if you had 2 to 5 people in an average household, then that $20 to $50 price point wouldn't be so bad. If an average movie ticket was somewhere between, what, $9 and $17, then that's actually a bargain. Then you add in concessions and things like that.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like I sit there and I think about like the last time I went to the movie theater. And it's like, dude, I spent a good $30-$40 easy just going to the theater. And it's like, shit, that's like that's insane when you sit there and you think about like what, you know, what you spend on going out nowadays. Now it wasn't – it's no longer the – the old, hey, I'm going to go to the theater. I'll spend $20 on everything that I need. They're like, nope, now you're going to spend $20 probably just getting into the theater, you know? And then, like, oh, you're going to want popcorn, and you're going to want something to drink, and then you're going to, you know, and of course, they, like, you know, movie theater prices are just as bad as fucking, like, stadium prices. So, you know, you'll get a hot dog and a drink for freaking, like, $90, you know?
Now, let's face it. As far as hacking, yes. I could believe that they could fix it where you can't hack it if, you know, like they do some really good encryption in their stream. But that's to prevent you from grabbing the file directly from iTunes. But that does not prevent you from putting up a great camera, recording it with perfect audio. So as soon as it's out 2 weeks on iTunes TV, then it's out on the internet with a perfect rip. So as soon as it's out there, it's out everywhere. That's the true problem because everyone's waiting for like that R5. That's what, you know, so you get the nice video from, China, and then you get someone just recording a decent English audio. And you combine the two. Everyone who has watched those videos know that that's how they do it. Now you don't have to worry about that anymore. So the question is, how do you prevent that? And no one really has an answer because I actually was looking to see if they have a way to prevent that, and the answer is no.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, come on now. We've been around the internet for quite some time. You know, if there is a will, there is a way. You know, some person is going to figure out, like, I need to look for this amount of like information. I'll capture it and I got it. You know, they will figure out a way to do it. Like, literally, it's one of those things. Like, I honestly do not think there is currently in place something that they could transmit the information to you from their server. I mean, granted, you're talking through an Apple iTunes, secure their, you know, through their secure servers, straight to your computer and all that. I cannot see of a way because of just how the internet works, because you're going to take so many bounces all over the place, no matter where you come from, of them being able to secure that connection completely where there's no way for that information to get picked up by anything else. Like, I can't think of a way of what they do it. Like, the only possible way is that it has to have one direct connection from their side straight to your side. No jumps anywhere else, anything like that. But, as we all know, the internet don't work that way. because I could be connecting to my internet service provider here in Boston, Massachusetts, but somebody pinging me can sit there and tell me, hey, you're actually connecting through Washington or New York City or California just because of the way that the routers connect through. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how – I think that is the – if you remember the Underpants Gnome of, like, stage one, we have the movies, you know, stage two is the question mark, and then stage three, profit. Like, right. That we're in that question mark phase of, like, they have to just figure that out.
So here's my question, though. Okay, I always thought that the idea of being able to bring those movies to you quicker is good, because I think that the way movie theaters are, it's turning more and more people off. Mm-hmm. Because when you go, yeah, you can always pack people in, but more people rather be able to watch it at home. I mean, you go into so many people's houses, they have a large screen TV, you know, 42 and up. It's not like it's something nowadays where it's so expensive where it prices people out. And even people who are quote-unquote low income, by the time you go to some of these movie theaters, you're spending so much money anyway, you're pricing them out anyway. So here's my question. If it became something where more and more platforms, let's say Netflix got in on it, Amazon got in on it, and you could go to these multiple platforms, and do you think that the ability to get these movies quickly at home would actually increase movie sales? Because now you're relaxing at home, you could just click it and watch it, or do you think it could hurt because of the ability to easier pirate it? Like, someone decides, hey, I can Periscope it or put a video cam up and show it to people. You know, do you think that the pirates would be like, oh, it's a field day, and more people will take advantage of it? Because I don't know. You see so many television shows that still flourish that are well done. Like, look, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, you can get all these pirated, but the shows still get really – well, Walking Dead's ratings are down because the series, the season isn't that good. But Game of Thrones still does really well, even though there's tube sites to watch it online all over the place. So, I mean, what do you think?
You said Walking Dead this season is not as good, man. It's been interesting with this Negan – the Negan storyline so far. And
the ratings are in, man. Lowest ratings.
I don't know, so. Man. Anyways, like, that's like, man, that's one of those, like, really tough questions to answer. Why? Because it is one of those things, because it can go either way. To agree with you, what you say, like, Game of Thrones is huge for HBO. Yet you can find it if you want to. Like, you do not have to have an HBO subscription or not. I think another big thing that helps out, whereas, like, it helps them out in the sense, is if you look at it, one of the big things that they did before, you had to be subscribed to a cable provider and you had to pay for HBO. First step that HBO did is, hey, we're going to make it where you can pay money and you don't have to have a cable subscriber. You can just watch HBO. That was step one, I think, in their smartest decision. Number two, now you're having other companies that are doing live streaming over the internet that are like, hey, instead of paying like $20 a month or whatever it is for HBO, you could pay us $5 a month. You get the HBO included into it. So they've opened up more people to get access to the shows. So regardless, they're still making more money. And what's interesting is, like, if you remember way back when like HBO started doing their streaming and all that, like the guy running the whole thing at HBO was like, yeah, we have no problem if, like, somebody in your family is paying for HBO and they share their login information with you and you could watch it. And it's like, if you look at it, like, you know, he was basically laying it down, saying like, yeah, we don't give a shit that you're using somebody's login and password to log in, like, enjoy the shows. And it's one of those things that I think if they do this, the more people that adopt this type of a thing, I think it won't make a difference for, like, the hacking and all that. And, like, one of the kind of, like, case in point of this was, if you remember back in the day when Psy was huge with Gangnam Style, he did an interview where he sat down and they basically told him, if you look at it, that song is the most pirated song that's out there. And they asked him what he thought about that. Like if he was upset or anything like that. And his reaction was, honestly, I don't care. Because they're getting that song and maybe not everybody, but some of them may sit there and go, hey, you know what? This is actually really good. Let me buy the album or buy some of the other songs. So it's like, yeah, he had people that would be like, I'm getting everything for free. But he had some people that like got it and they're like, yeah, this is really good. You know what? I'm going to support this guy. And that could be another thing that can happen with this thing is, yeah, they may be able to get the movies and all that, but some people may say like, oh, you know what? I'm going to buy this movie because yeah, they need to, I want to sit there and pay for it and have them get money for it. But it's like that, it's that really, really tough like question. Like you really don't know, like this could be good. This could be bad. It all really is how they put the steps in place of how they're going to support it.
Well, I think that the first thing is they can't lock it down to just Apple. I think it's going to have to be something where you could get it on a couple more platforms. I think it's one of those things where if they're getting money from these companies to offer the movies, then that's part of it because they're getting money there. Then that can go to the actors because, look, obviously saying things like get money to the actors, get money to the directors, people are going to be like, who cares? They're rich. But let's face it, we're talking across the board because – everyone has to get this share, so then these things keep coming. So that's what I mean. Oh, and then the second part is if it's not just Apple, then eventually it'll come to Netflix, Amazon, Prime, so that you're not just stuck with one platform. Mm-hmm. And then you can keep that ball rolling because then you want independent movies, things like that. And then maybe what will happen is with the movie theaters, those prices will go down, and then you'll see other movies like – that you don't see all the time because people are always talking about movies that should be made that you don't see because that could be an unintended consequence. And you kind of see that maybe a little bit with Netflix because that's one thing I learned in film school that a lot of times people don't want to take a chance. If you have different ways for movies to come out, and that's one thing talking about YouTube and things that could be an unintended consequence depending on how the revenue stream is established. If you have different ways to make money, CW has a thing called CW Seed, where it's like kind of independent. If you have these different ways to make money, all of a sudden you could green light a lower-end movie with a first-time director, first-time actors. Doesn't mean it's going to be crap, but it just means it doesn't have to be the next Marvel blockbuster because now you say, hey, I can sell it to Apple, to Netflix, to Amazon Prime, and it'll make some money. It doesn't have to make $150 million or else. It can make $10 million and it's okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, they definitely, if they want this to take off, like, they can't lock it down to one freaking service. Like, they could probably do a deal where it'll be, like, exclusive to, like, Apple for, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever, and then, boom, it hits everybody else type of a thing. But I think the more people they can get it out to, the better it will be. You know, like you said, like, if you look at, like, one of the biggest things you mentioned Netflix is if you sit there and you think about it, like, look at what Netflix has done. Netflix before, you had so many different movies that you had to choose from, but then slowly but surely the amount of movies that they have is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I mean, they're getting like, you know, all these like weird, like freaking ancient movies that are going on there. And none of the more modern stuff is getting on there. Yet you see them coming out with more and more like Netflix original stuff. And it's like, you sit there and you think about it and you're like, why would they do that? And it's like plain and simple. They realize all these other companies, like the like all the studios that own the movies, like Paramount and Sony and all that, they're realizing like, man, people are really paying money to stream these movies. Why are we giving that money to, you know, Netflix? So what they've been doing is once their contract runs out, they're kind of like trying to hold on to the movies themselves to start their own streaming service. And Netflix was smart enough to catch this early on and said, like, we're not going to be able to keep doing this forever. We have to come up with good stuff that's our own, you know, that we can keep people subscribing to us. And, I mean, I honestly think they've been doing a phenomenal job when it comes to coming up with original content, because, like, literally all the Marvel stuff is great. You know, you have, like, House of Cards, Stranger Things. Like, there's freaking shows on there that, man, it rivals stuff that's on, you know, HBO. And even then with HBO, speaking of them, like, if you look at it, they got two, like, half seasons left of Game of Thrones. And that's it. That shit's done. And they've already started throwing out their other shows, which I will honestly tell you, if you have not freaking seen it, you need to watch Westworld. That fucking show is insane. Like, I'm not even through the first season. Like, I caught on. I jumped onto this ship way after this bitch sailed out. And I'm only, like, 7 episodes in. But holy crap, like, they have a gem with that thing. That once Game of Thrones leaves HBO, people will be like, Game of who? Because that show's freaking insane of how good it is. And they just, like, you know, they need to... Like, these film places are getting greedy, and they're like, yeah, we're going to start pulling back. And then what's going to end up happening is they're going to realize nobody's going to want to subscribe to their streaming services. And then they're going to try and be like, hey, so let's strike up a deal and let's put it back on Netflix. And that's when something like that, the ball's going to be in the court of the streaming service. Because then they're like, oh, yeah, so remember how you wanted to pull your movies back because you thought we were going to die without your stuff? And now we got all this revenue coming in from our own stuff. Yeah, so we're going to pay you half of what we were paying you before for your movie.
Well, it depends, because that'll be one thing to look for in the future. It's mm-hmm. like what we saw with MMOs. You know, when mm-hmm. we saw at first we had, like, Ultimate Online, then we had EverQuest, then we had Dark Age of Camelot, then we had Conan. And the question was, oh, man, all these games are going to be the EverQuest killer, the Dark Age of Camelot killer. But then it was like, wait. Is everyone going to pay? Back then it was $9.99 and it was $12.99. Are you going to pay for 2 MMOs, 3 MMOs? And then they eventually had to go free to play. The same thing is going to happen with these streaming services. And that's why they're so cheap right now, because how many are you going to pay for? Right now it's easy to justify having, like, Netflix and then HBO to go. And then you might get Amazon Prime because you get the Prime Video. Now, I could definitely see a big company like Disney putting together their own streaming service, because imagine Marvel, Disney, LucasArts, all of that, including their huge animation library in one streaming service. That is a shit ton of content. Warner Brothers, imagine theirs, 20th Century Fox, their own streaming service. Those giants could easily have their own streaming service. Mm-hmm. With their library of television shows and movies all under one, and imagine if they did the first run movies after 2 weeks or 3 weeks as well, that could be incredible. But the question is, if they did that, how much and how many streaming services are you going to have? Because now mm-hmm. you go back to the cable cutting and how they're going to compete with cable companies. Because now you're like, okay, do I have cable? Because this is especially a question for families. We know that younger people are like, screw this, I don't want cable. But if you're a family and you have cable and now you have these streaming services as well, I mean, you have a streaming service through cable, but you may want to have this streaming service too. So if you have Warner Brothers and you have Netflix and you have Amazon Prime, you have Hulu, you have, you know, Disney, how much are all these charging? And when you combine them, How much are you paying if you add those plus cable? Or even if you don't use cable at all, how much do all of those combined cost you per month? And mm-hmm. are you going to pay that? And if not, are you going to cherry pick? Do you hack some? Do you do tube sites for some and then pay for others?
Mm-hmm.
That's the gigantic question.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
see. Yeah, that's the big thing is, like, it's going
to
come down to, like, you know, like you say, it was the same thing with MMOs. Like, how much are people going to be willing to pay? Because you can have 2 or 3, and then you're going to sit there and go like, man, where the fuck all my money going? And like, oh, it's because I'm freaking throwing out $10 here, $10 there. You know, that's the big thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you would go to iTunes and you buy a 99-cent song, and next thing you know, you get your iTunes bill, it's like $300. You're like, I bought 300 songs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that shit adds up, man. It's like the 900 numbers back in the day. I talked to that bitch for how long?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, we covered a bunch of hacking, suing stories. Mm. We got derailed, but I like that derailing. That was some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be back because I can see the wow addiction in Randy's eyes.
No way!
It's got me too. We're going to hit that shit.
So the sad part is, like, I didn't tell you this, but literally, like, I was going through the other day, and I was like, oh, let me look, and I'm looking at all my characters. And I realized, I'm like, man, you know, like, I really, like, now with shamans being how shamans are, I'm like, man, I've seen some, like, shamans that are, like, disgusting and this and that. I'm like, man, I should try one. And I literally realized, because I have a lot of tunes on the one main server I'm on, and I'm like, damn, I wonder what the limit is to how many characters you could have. And apparently you can have one of every class, and I literally realized that, oh, I literally had one of every class except a shaman on my server, and I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's bad." And I will say, I hate to say this, but yes, I have six level 110 characters. Although only one of them I've like been like gearing up and all that, which has been my warrior, which has been a blast and a half to play. Let me tell you. But yeah, like
you're the crack dealer who is also addicted to crack.
Yeah, like that. I should have taken Tony Montana's freaking thing. Don't get high on your own supply. Like I literally have freaking sat there, like gone in there, and it's like, ooh. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's like I love like the leveling process, like just going through it. Although sometimes it can get like pretty grindy and all that, but it is cool to like just take this character from like level one and just be go and just wreck shit with it, especially with heirloom gear, dude. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. It got me too.
Yeah.
So we're going to go finish that up, but I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. So I hope you guys didn't get offended. And if you did, guess what?
Fuck it.
Y'all didn't get the show. Until next time.
Peace.